Europe makes a bold move to head off inflation.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, why is the European Central Bank raising interest rates if the Federal Reserve is keeping rates the same? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up just barely. The Dow's basically flat at 12,424. The Nasdaq up about 0.3%. And the S&P 500 up about 0.1%. More good news from the job market this morning. The Labor Department told us that the number of people applying for first-time unemployment benefits dropped last week to 382,000. Now, to put that number in perspective, at the peak of the recession, weekly applications hit 659,000. Now let's get to today's interest rate hike by the European Central Bank. The bank is boosting the cost of borrowing by 0.25% to battle inflation. It's the first time in 40 years that a major European Central Bank has raised interest rates ahead of the Federal Reserve. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial, and she's with us live now, as she is every Thursday from Chicago. Good morning. Diane, you still there?
Yes.
Oh, good. Sorry, we lost you for a second. The European Central Bank, Diane, wants to battle inflation, but they've got similar inflation to what we have right now, which is to say not very much. Why are the Europeans raising rates when the Fed is keeping rates the same?
Well, there's two very simple reasons. The first is that Europe, the largest economies in Europe, most notably Germany, are much stronger than they are in the U.S. and in much more inflation prone. The second reason is that Europe has to deal with the euro, and while they've had all these debt crises, they need to defend the credibility of the European Central Bank, which is the only thing that unifies the eurozone at the moment. Remember, they're also making these rate hikes and giving hundreds of billions in bailout dollars to the periphery countries, like most notably Portugal, which asked for funds yesterday, will likely get them this weekend to offset the effect of that rate hike on that country.
To the tune of, I think, $100 billion. Diane, before I let you go, I want to ask you about the possibility of a government shutdown in this country, which could come tomorrow night at midnight. What concerns you most about that possibility?
Well, not only the direct economic consequences for the U.S. economy of jobs lost and people not being paid, checks not being received in the mail, but more importantly, what it sends as a message to the rest of the world of our inability to deal with our own deficit problem. That is not confidence in the U.S. and the ability for us to come to any agreement about the long-term deficit. This is a lot of noise and a lot of hysterics, but not really getting to the core issues of the problem, and that worries me because we have a lot of foreign investors counting on us getting it right.
And we're going to get to that in just a second. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Well, as Diane said, this is just the appetizer, the current negotiations over this year's budget. The entree would be the negotiations over next year's budget. And the dessert in Washington is the coming fight over whether to raise the federal debt ceiling. Lawmakers will have to lift it by more than $1 trillion this year to keep the U.S. government from defaulting on its debt. For more on that, let's bring in Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So what is the big deal with this debt ceiling?
The U.S. Treasury is the AAA security in the world. It is the risk-free security. So if we don't raise the debt ceiling and we end up defaulting on that debt, it would be catastrophic for the U.S. economy and the world economy.
And have we always had this debt ceiling?
No, the first debt ceiling came about in 1917. And then later on in 1939, we got the debt ceiling as we now know it. It's an aggregate limit. Back in 1939, it was set at $45 billion. And since then, by the way, Jeremy, it's been raised about 100 times.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger these days. Well, what would happen if we didn't raise the debt ceiling?
Well, if we didn't raise the debt ceiling sometime around May 16th, possibly, or around that date, we would then have to start scrambling to try to continue to pay our debts that a lot of foreigners own and banks own and insurance companies and retirees own. And we'd have to make a lot of very difficult choices about how to conserve cash. And eventually we would face default.
Default. And what if we do keep raising the debt ceiling? Don't investors get worried if we just keep borrowing more and more money?
Well, look, investors care about two things. One, they do want to see a long-term budget plan. Absolutely. No question about that. But secondly, investors don't even like the talk of default. This is the AAA security in the world, and it could end up being a junk bond.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years, on the web at chevy.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
People may be buying more these days, but you wouldn't know it by visiting the mall. A report out this morning says mall vacancy rates are at the highest they've been in a decade, over 9%. Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports.
Strip mall owners are getting desperate. They're offering perks like free rent and settling for retail stores they normally hate to accept, like chiropractic clinics. Michael Levy is professor of marketing at Babson College.
I mean, think about it. If your back hurts, you're not going to go shopping and have your shoes repaired.
He says small storefront businesses, which make up the bulk of strip mall retailers, have taken a hit in the recession, and anchor stores keep leaving. First Circuit City, then Blockbuster.
Now, wait a minute. I'll tell you the here and the now. Let's not look back. Let's look forward. What about when we lose the Borders and the Barnes & Nobles? Because they also are anchors.
Faith Hope Consolo chairs the retail division at Prudential. She says the strip mall as an institution may be on the way out.
It just doesn't work anymore. The format doesn't work.
It may be going the way of the department store. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, let me make a quick phone call. Hold music. Well, now it appears there's an app for that. It's called Fast Customer, and it waits on hold for you. And then when the operator picks up, it tells them to dial one to be connected to you. How's that for turning the tables? There is one little catch, though. While you're waiting for your phone to ring, you do have to remember who you were trying to call in the first place. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The Mad Dog of the Middle East was once hailed as a national hero who stood up to the oil companies and got Libya a good deal.
It is the oil money, the petrodollars, that's made Gaddafi the man who was liberating his oil industry.
I'm Bob Moon. That same oil wealth has now transformed Gaddafi into an internationally loathed tyrant. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.